Well, God bless you again, Brother Melvin. It's good to see you, and it's a good time with all of the rain that we got coming here in the recent weeks and changing the environment in our area, taking some of the dust down and giving us some water to use all the summer. So we're thankful for that. I'm thankful that the Lord has given me another opportunity to share word. And I'm glad to be on your program, KRAJ 100.9 FM in the Antelope Valley. This is great. And I'm hearing people say that they like listening to your station, so we're glad to be here. The subject that the Lord is going to use from Isaiah 43rd chapter, the entire chapter, and I'm also going to use Acts chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 and 21. And the thought that we want to wrap everything around today is the Redeemer's final call. The Redeemer's final call. And I'm hoping that as we walk through this message, that everybody who listens to this will be able to judge themselves and ask themselves the question, am I ready for the final call? And when I talk about the final call, I'm not necessarily talking about eternity. I'm talking about what the Lord has done and given us many chance after chance after chance after chance. And are we going to obey his call and be able to recognize the fact that God just loves us? So there are three calls that I want to bring to our attention. So let me read the scripture to you. Isaiah chapter 43, and I'm just going to take some of the verses, not all of them. But verse 1 and 2 goes with what I call the wake-up call. That's the first call, is the wake-up call. And then the second call is the everlasting love call. And then the final call is that one where the Lord has sent his son to make that final call. So verse 1 says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee." This is what the Lord is having Isaiah to say to the children of Israel. "That created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not." This is what God is saying. "For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by your name. You're mine." And how could, I mean, a question come to a goofy guy like me who has done a little bit of everything against what God has called me to do? How could he still love me enough to say, "I created you, I called you by name, and you are mine. Can't nobody take you out of my hand." So this is the wake-up call that I hope that each of you can get out of this. So listen at verse number 2. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, and though the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you." Now, this is what God is saying. Now, early on in Isaiah chapter 42 and earlier, the children of Israel had done all kind of ugly stuff. And yet God, I'm going to say this, and I believe the Lord would would allow me to say this, and God has the audacity to say that he will not, without a question, will not allow anything to hurt us because he has called us by name and he says, you are mine. And even when you walk through the fireplace of your life, it can't take you over. And the reason why it can't take you over is because you're mine. Well, that's a wake-up call. That ought to be a wake-up call for anybody to recognize the fact that God loves us so much that he makes a statement that you're mine, I called you by name, and nothing, nobody, the devil himself cannot take you out of my hand. So that's the wake-up call. Then call number two is verse 4 through 8. Listen what it says. Since thou was precious. Oh my God. I shared this sermon just a day or two ago, and I could not get it past the word, since thou art precious in my sight. Now, he know how ugly I've been. He know what I've been trying to do in the dark and hide from him. He knows what it is. And yet he says, you're precious in my sight. Not only are you precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. He give me credit for being honorable. And I have loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east. Now look what the Lord is saying he's going to do. Whatever your seed is, talking to Israel, from the east, and gather them from the west, verse number 6, and I will say to the north, give them up. They belong to Israel, and if they belong to Israel, they are mine. And from the south, bring my sons through from far and near, and all of my daughters, I want them all back. I'm going to skip down to verse 8. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf people that have ears. Now watch it, what God is saying. He's not saying that they physically cannot see, but he recognized the fact that stupid folks, and I'm going to put myself in that one. For many years, I was that kind of guy. Stupid people who had eyes and couldn't see, ears and couldn't hear. He said, bring them all too, because you're precious in my sight. That's the love call that the Lord has made in call number two. His everlasting love call and his mercy endureth forever. Now, I'm going to go because if I don't, I'm going to run out of time here. Let's look at call number three, which we're going to spend a little time with, which is the final call, verses 18 and 19. Listen what he said. Verse 18. Remember ye now, ye, listen, if you're in your car, don't stop driving. Keep your eyes on the road. If you're in your house just sitting back, then you can just kind of focus in. Wherever you are, listen to what he said. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Well, Lord, what are you saying to me? I'm saying that all the stuff you did, all the otherness you did in the past, all of some of the things that you might even think about doing now, forget it. Because I'm throwing it out. I'm taking it off your record. So you don't have to look at that no more. Verse number 19. And here's where we want to park our car and stay a while. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. In other words, when you've run out of everything, brothers and sisters, you're listening to a guy, and you probably heard me if you listened to Brother Melvin's program on Third Sundays. I've said this more than once, that God looked past my stink, and he looked and smelled my goodness. Just because he loved me. But it's the final call. He says, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to bring something to you that you never had before. The other calls were made under the old dispensation, under the law. And now I'm going to bring forth grace and truth in the form of a new thing, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, part one of the final call, verse 18, he says, forget the past. And I had a little statement that I use, forget the past, because you cannot go to the new and hold to the past. It'll stretch you apart. You cannot hold to what was and get to what is. Something got to give. Are you with me? Something got to give. And so I say to you, turn loose that old stuff and let it go. Then he says in verse 19, a new thing, a new dispensation that I brought to you. I've had you to be brought out of Egypt. Yeah, you were down there. They treated you bad. I let you stay there until you had reached a point of repentance. So I want you to know that it's a new thing now. The Lord has fully paid for all of your sin. Not only did I bring you out of Egypt, and if you look at me today, I would hear the Lord saying to me, not only did I bring you off the mountain when you were there to commit suicide in February of 1971, not only did I bring you through that and got you off the mountain and didn't allow that to happen to you, but I want you to know that there's still new stuff being in your life, developing in your life day after day. And he's talking back now to Israel and says, now the Jews and the Gentiles have become one under this new thing that I've done. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 18 through 21, he says this. Let me just read a little bit of that to you. Acts chapter 3. And verse 18, but those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all of his holy prophets, that Christ, listen at this, that Christ should suffer, he has fulfilled every debt that you owed, he paid. Oh my. If that don't make you get happy, ain't nothing gonna make you happy. But he took our bills. Well, I put it this way. He added up all of our expense. And when he added up all of our expense, he found out that we ain't got nothing to pay with. And he says to me, Henry, all you have to do is to believe that I went to Calvary. Believe I paid the bill by giving my blood that your bills could be paid and you could be reconciled in the presence of God. Now listen to how Paul put this in the Romans. Romans 5:8, he says, while we were yet sinners, while we were still ugly, while we were still doing our stuff, Christ died for us. And, you know, I can't get over with that when I'm dealing with people who are ugly. I can't help from forgiving them because I've been forgiven so many times that they are countless. And so since I have been forgiven, I run into people that I have to forgive them, and the reason why I have to forgive them is because of the fact that I have been forgiven. So this is the final call. Christ has come and paid in full on Calvary for all of my sin while I was still a sinner. The last scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 through 21, he talks about reconciliation. And listen how he says this. He says, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. So instead of us getting the punishment, God punished Christ. That's big. And you know what Christ said? Nothing. He told Christ, he told God his Father, I took Henry's place, so I did it. You can pay me, put his stuff on my bill, and do whatever you have to do that I might be able, that Henry could go free. The last verse I'd like to say, but he has, verse 21, for he has made him to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. The last call by the Redeemer. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to share with my brothers and sisters the last call, which was Jesus on Calvary, Jesus in the grave, Jesus being resurrected, and Jesus has ascended and is now in glory with you on my behalf. Thank you for that. Bless us and keep us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody wish to be in a good worship service, we invite you to come to Livingstone Cathedral of Worship, located at 37721 North 100th Street in Little Rock, California. And services start at 10 o'clock. We also have a Bible study every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at our church. So we would be glad to have you anytime you would like to be with us. On this coming Sunday, today, when you will hear this message, I'm going to be doing an interview with a lady at our church named Carrie McCoy. She's 105 years old. And I'm going to do an interview with her as a part of our worship on this coming Sunday. God bless you, and we will see you next time. Don't forget, the last call. In Jesus' name, amen.